in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is giving us an insight to the battle that we are engaged in today. Whether you know it or not, Christian friend of mine, you are engaged in warfare. The enemy goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I believe in this particular generation that we're living in, the devil has the church backed into a corner. I believe that God's people should be triumphant. We should be victorious in our warfare that we are engaged in, but it seems like the devil has the upper hand on God's people today. Something's wrong somewhere. God's people do not have an understanding of its enemy. The enemy of each one of us is the devil. Your enemy isn't your next door neighbor. I have people come to me and say, Brother Schambach, pray for my next door neighbor. That's my enemy. That is not your enemy. That is a potential brother or sister that is living right next door to you. But your enemy is the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against wicked spirits in high places. A lot of God's people think the devil's in hell. He ain't in hell. He's right here in your city. He's the prince and the power of the air. He inhabits the atmosphere. But thank God we as children of God are not left defenseless against his works. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now, I could spend an eternity on this sixth chapter of Ephesians, but there's only two things that I want to dwell on today that will encourage you as a believer. Paul tells the church, put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your loins girt about with truth. Your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. But he says, above all, above everything else, take the shield of faith. For with that shield of faith, you will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. One hand you got a shield in, and the other hand you got a sword in. Are you listening to me? A sword and a shield. And you say you're not in a battle? What do you think God put a sword in your hand for? What do you think he put a shield in your hand for? So you can play Sunday school all the days of your life? We are engaged in a conflict. The wiles of the devil. In this particular chapter, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategy of the devil. And I want you to know the devil is a master of strategy. During World War II, I was on a destroyer in the United States Navy. We were engaged in an operation over in the South Pacific on an island called Iwo Jima and Okinawa. I'll never forget this as long as I live. The captain of our ship called all of ship's company on the eve of D-Day, and he gave us the plan of attack or the strategy of the higher-ups who were playing the war games, and they were going to inform us exactly what was going to take place. We on that destroyer had a role to play. And he began to explain it. He had a map there of the island. He showed us our position where we were. And then on the other side of an island, there was another task force. And he began to tell us that this task force was going to make a mock invasion. It looked like the real thing. The enemy thought it was the real thing. It was such a small island that they were alerting the enemy that they were going to make a landing. They brought all of their defenses from this side over to the other side so that they could withstand the invasion. But what they didn't know, that this was a mock invasion, and the real invasion was going to occur on the other side of the island. And when he began to unfold this plan, I nudged one of my buddies and said, "Man, I'd have never thought of that." He said, "That's why you're a seaman and not an admiral. You never would have thought of it." But I began to think about this after God saved me and old Slewfoot began to sneak around. I know that the devil is a strategist, and he knows your weakness, and the devil is out to destroy every child of God that he can, but God has given us power over all the works of the devil. Can you say amen, somebody? This message is not intended to glorify the devil, but instead I want to show you as a believer that God has given you authority over all his works. And you have a defense against him. May I go over this just a little lightly? First of all, he says, put on the helmet of salvation. Put it on. I'm not talking about shaking a preacher's hand. I'm not talking about joining a church. You can have your name on every church book in your city and still split hell wide open. You can shake every preacher's hand you know and still go to hell. But I'm talking about being born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, knowing that you are a child of God. Can you shout amen, somebody? I had a man come to me not long ago, and he said to me, "Brother Shambach," he said, "am I saved?" I said, "No." "Why," he says, "you don't know me. How can you say that?" I said, "I don't have to. When you get saved, you won't go around asking somebody if you're saved. You'll go around telling them, 'I am saved. I am a child of God.' You'll be the first one to know it." Can you shout yes? Turn around there in your seat and tell somebody. Say, "I know I'm a child of God." Go ahead, say it. It'll do you good. Put on the helmet of salvation. The next step, he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know what that means? That means put on the breastplate of right living. That means start living right. Everybody can live right in church, but it seems like today people sort of take off the helmet and leave it in the church when they walk out. But God is looking for a people who have separated themselves from the world, who will take this thing outside the camp and let the world know that Christ is alive and he walks in you. Can you shout amen? The breastplate of right living. And as I say, I don't want to get into these particular aspects of it, but I want to just sort of highlight it. Your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. Having your loins girt about with truth. But now we're coming down to the fundamental. This is the thing that I want to emphasize. The sword in one hand and the shield in the other. Two absolutely essential weapons that every child of God must learn how to use. The shield of faith and the sword. The sword of what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You will never be successful in whipping the devil until you learn how to use the Word. The Word of God is your sword. Now, if you will allow me the privilege of going back into the life of Jesus, and I can't think of a better example to cite than Christ himself. Jesus, after he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible said that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Is that right? After he fasted for 40 days, the devil knows when to strike. After he was hungry, the devil came out and encountered him in combat. This was not some little old demon spirit, but this was Lucifer. This was the devil himself who faced Jesus. And the first thing that the devil said to Jesus was, "If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." What did Jesus do? Now, he was hungry. He could have done it. Somebody said Jesus had at his command, by one snap of the finger, he could have had 3,000 legions of angels coming to his rescue. I don't believe that. I believe that Jesus was living just like you and I are living. He lived as a man. And Jesus used the only weapon that is available to every child of God that is fighting the devil today. And that weapon was the Word. Jesus knew how to use that sword. Are you listening to me? When the devil says, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread, Jesus took his sword out. And I can picture him slashing it in the air, so to speak. Going out to meet old Slewfoot and said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Ooh, I like to see somebody that knows how to use that sword. Can you say amen? Amen? Well, now the devil knows how to use it too. So he pulled out his sword. And it says he took him up into a pinnacle on the temple. This time he says, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written. Now he's going to quote it. See what I mean? This is the battle. Don't you tell me the devil don't know that Bible. He knows it better than y'all know it. But he don't know how to quote it right. If he ever quoted it right, he'd be quoting truth. But I want you to know the devil is a liar from the beginning. He either takes something away or he adds something to it. Can you say amen? For it is written, the devil said, that he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone, and in their hands they'll bear thee up. Jesus retaliated with his sword and said, Satan, it is written again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he drove him back. There's something about that sword I like. Can you say amen? Beloved, it's not what the church says. It's not what the bishop says. It's not what your pastor says. But it's what thus saith the word of God. If God said it, he'll do it. And if he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. Can you raise your hands and shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He's not done yet. Takes him up on a mountain. He says, fall down and worship me. And I'll give you everything your eyes behold. Jesus dealt him his last blow and said, Satan, get thee hence, for it is written again, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Hear me. I love this. After Jesus dealt him three blows with his sword, the Bible says, then the devil leaveth him. Do you know why many of God's people have so much trouble with the devil? You know why? Because they don't know how to use the sword. There's only one way you can keep the devil conquered, and that is by the word of God. Then the devil leaveth him, and angels came and ministered unto him. How would you like to have some angels come? I'm getting tired of demon spirits following me around. I want to have some angels coming by my side. Can you say amen? I believe that every child of God can put the devil where he belongs. Under your feet. That's the place where he belongs. He is a defeated foe. And God has given you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you is the word of God. And you can lay claim to the promised glory. Can you raise your hands and say amen? The sword of the Spirit, the Word. But he says above everything else. Now here's one of the most distinctive points. You may have the helmet on. You may have the breastplate on. You may be living right. Loins girt about with truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But he said above all, above everything else, take the shield of faith. For with that shield of faith, you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. This is the reason why I love to preach faith so much. because I'm trying to get a shield in your hands. I talk to many people that are suffering, especially with arthritis, rheumatism, different afflictions that come from a spirit of infirmity. People that are bound with a spirit of infirmity, I never ask God to heal them. I have to bind that spirit and command that devil to turn loose. But just about everyone that we talk to, ask them, when did this thing come on you? And they'll say, suddenly, quickly, just overnight. I don't know. It wasn't a gradual thing. It just hit all of a sudden, like an arrow, like a dart. When you read the scriptures and you find out how the devil works, this is the reason why God has put a shield of faith, or rather he's made it available for you to use, because with the shield of faith, you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. You can put that faith to work to destroy every plan of attack that the devil directs toward your life. May I say this to every one of you here tonight, that the devil has been defeated 2,000 years ago. You couldn't tell it by looking at the church. That's the reason why I don't look at the church. I look at the Word. The Word of God is truth. 2,000 years ago, my elder brother defeated old Slewfoot. I mean, rendered him helpless and powerless. But this is the very point that the church cannot see. I believe that when Christ was crucified on Calvary, now this is my own personal belief, I believe nobody was demon possessed at that time. Because I believe every demon spirit was around Calvary watching Jesus die. They got him now. They killing him. That's what they thought. Ain't nobody could kill him. Jesus said, this one promise I have from my Father, he gave me power to lay my life down, and he gave me power to take it back up again. But here is where Jesus dealt the death blow to old Slewfoot. Rendered him powerless and helpless, and that is when he arose from the dead. He died for my sin, but when he arose, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. I believe every one of you are conscious of the fact that when Jesus died on Calvary, his blood had to be sprinkled on the mercy seat. God the Father did not accept the sacrifice immediately. Jesus went down into the bowels of the earth. And there it says he was grappling with these spirits. But all of a sudden, all of heaven got the news. All of earth got the news. And then all of hell got the news. That the righteous demands of a just God had been met. The blood of Jesus Christ has been accepted as the sacrifice of sin. And when all hell got the news, my Bible said Jesus made a show of him openly. He walked up into the face of old Slewfoot and took the vesture in which he trusted. In front of all the cohorts of hell, in front of the eyes of every demon spirit, he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he went over and unlocked the cells of the ancient patriarchs of God, and he led captive, and he gave gifts unto the children of men and led them out of bondage. Can you shout amen, somebody? Hallelujah! The devil was stripped of his power 2,000 years ago, and it's up to you to keep him where he belongs. Defeated. But they has been backed into a corner. Seems like the devil has the church exactly where he wants her. But I believe it's about time that the church comes alive. Jesus said, Paul said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. This is the reason why I'm preaching like this tonight, to show you your position in Christ, that you have no business running from a devil. If you're going to run from him, or rather, if you're going to run toward him. Notice the equipment. God gives you protection for your head, for your chest, for your loins, for your feet, and for your two hands. But there's one part of your body that's left unprotected, and that's your back. You know why? Because ain't no sissies in God's army. God never intended his children to turn their back on the devil. You turn your back on the devil and your back is exposed. No wonder you end up with, What is it? Oh, Arthur came for a visit. Arthur who? Arthritis? You know, when you get 43, you get them pains, you know. So you make a bed for him and he stays with you. Turn your back on him. God never intended his children to run from the devil. He put a sword in your hand and a shield in your hand. Get out there and face him and let him know who you are. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Behold, I give you power over all the works of the devil. Can you shout amen, somebody? There's a personal experience that I generally give when I preach this message. It took place when I was in high school, if you'll forgive me for the personal illustration. But it bears my point out, right to the point. But remember, please, that I wasn't saved at this time. When I was in high school, all through the 9th grade, the 10th grade, and the 11th grade, we had a fella, I call him a man because he looked like a man. He was 6'6". And he weighed 265 pounds, and I was just a 155-pound weakling. And this giant, I'll call him a giant, was the bully of the school. Every time he'd see me, he'd slap me up alongside my head. And I'd turn around and apologize. I said, I'm sorry I ran into your hand. I wasn't about to tangle with him. I'd walk by him, and he'd trip me. And I'd get up and I'd say, I'm sorry I ran into your foot. Please accept my apology. He'd knock my books out of my hand, and I'd apologize for running into him. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But finally, one day, while I was home, I locked the bathroom door, had my shirt off, I was stripped to the waist, and I was flexing my muscles in the mirror, looking at myself. Did you ever do that? And I was talking to myself, Shambach, man, you strong. I said, yeah, Charlie Atlas. And I said, that man can't whip you. He might weigh 100 more pounds than you, but you're stronger than he is. I said, yeah. You know, when the devil ain't around, you sure talk big, can't you? And I talked to myself for about 15 minutes in that mirror. And that's the reason why God calls his word the mirror. When you look in the word, you can find yourself. Finally, I made up my mind. I said, the next time that man hits me, I'm going to turn around and let him have it. I felt good, man. I meant it, too. Next morning, I went to school, and just as soon as I opened the door, guess who I saw coming down that hallway? Here he comes, old Slewfoot himself, the giant. My heart started doing a double time. That seemed like that fear jumped all over me that quick. And I said to myself, remember what you said last night? I said, yeah, that was last night, but man, look at him now. And I wasn't about to say good morning to him or anything. I hugged that one side of the wall, and he was coming down the other side. There was no doors for me to get out. I had to go that way. Remember what you said now? If he hits you, let him have it. I said, yeah, that was last night. I ain't going to do that. I was getting scared. My eyes were on him, but I was looking the other way. Know what I mean? I had them eyes in the corner of them eye sockets. Finally, I saw him when he went by, and I breathed for the first time. But I breathed too quickly. He sneaked up behind me and left me have it right on my head. When he left me have it, he didn't have to knock my books out. I threw them aside, and I said, hold it! And he turned around, grinning from ear to ear. Man, I was scared. I said, you hit me for the last time. He said, I've been waiting for somebody to call me. And he come at me. When he come at me, there was only two hits. I hit him and he hit the floor. I knocked him out. I felt so good. There he was stretched out on the floor. I felt so good. And then I got mad. I said, you mean I've been taking this for 3 years and he had a glass jaw all them years? I said, I could have saved all them hits and socks if I'd have done this 3 years ago. Come on, say amen, somebody. This may be a crude story, but you all know what I'm getting reference to. This is exactly what the devil does. 2,000 years ago, Jesus destroyed him on the cross of Calvary. And I want you to know he's given you power over all of his works. He's already a defeated foe. And it's up to you as a child of God to keep him under your feet where he belongs. And you will live a victorious life. Raise your hands and give him praise, everybody. Hallelujah! amen.